Hello and welcome to Tongues of Fire, Pastor Paul's podcast, episode 258, part 1, Fruit. Today is Friday, September 14th, 2012.
From a distance, the world looks blue and green, and the snow-capped mountains white. From a distance, the ocean meets the stream, and the eagle takes to flight. It's the voice of every man. From a distance, we all have enough, and no one is in need. And there are no guns, no bombs, and no
Today's message is entitled, Fruit. Before we enter into Amos 8, 1 and 2, which speaks of fruit and becoming fruitful, Let's again turn back to David and see what he has to say in the Psalms. Psalm 92, 13 and 14. Those that be planted in the house of the Lord shall flourish in the courts of our Lord. It's saying when we abide in the Lord Jesus Christ, we shall bring forth much fruit. Not talk. And I hope I never get into that, although I talk a lot. Not debate. Not legalism. But you see, much depends on where the tree is planted. See, if we ever really grow in the courts of our Lord's house, we must be planted there. Firmly planted there. You can't be self-grown. You can't be self-sown. And I believe once planted of the Lord, now listen to what I'm saying, once planted of the Lord, you will never, ever, ever be rooted up. Now that's a message for the Christians. And it says in the end, a very strong delusion will come forth. And even almost the elect will fall for it. And probably they've been saved for years and years and years, and someone will come along and say, hey, you've faltered and you've failed. And so now you're lost. That's not being fruitful. We can't be self-grown or self-sown. But when we're in His courts, whatever the climate of our spiritual and our physical being, we shall take root downward. When you're looking at brothers and sisters that are in trouble, where are they going? They're going downward with their roots. And maybe they look kind of scraggly and knobby up there, and they've had all of their branches whacked off. But it causes them to go down to the living water, go down and grab a hold and get root. Oh, hey, preachers, if you're preaching, hey, you have been rooted up. Woe be to you, because I'll tell you why. The people that are in adversity, are having problems, are going down and they're digging in. And it causes them to seek the Lord all the more. Have you not found that in your own life? When adversity comes, and I talked to people, I went over to, like I said, Friday, over to the produce. And I hadn't been there in a while, and I had three or four people come up and needed ministry, and so I was there for like an hour just ministering. Well, I think my faith is gone. I think this has happened to me. I think that has happened to me. No, I said, no, no. Once that you're saved, you're always saved, and your roots are going down right now. Now dig in. And don't allow someone to come and try to root you up, pull you up. And then it says, and I like this, they shall bring forth fruit in old age. Gives me hope, don't you? See, I was 40 when I got saved. And I thought to myself, nature decays, but grace thrives and gives forth fruit that everybody can eat, that everybody can stomach. There's a lot of things I can't stomach. Looks good. It's like going over to eat at someone's house. They have a beautiful table, and they're all arguing and debating, and you get real wheezy in your stomach, and, oh, God, excuse me, but I feel kind of sick. What's the matter? Why aren't you eating? Oh, I don't know. I just sort of lost my appetite. And sometimes when you're around these ignoramuses, you lose your appetite. And the world right now is hungering and thirsting after Jesus, but they lose their appetite. Say, come on over and sit down and eat that. Eat every bit of it. eat my message. And we can become God because there's only one message that we're to give. Go ye forth and preach the gospel unto all creation. Go to the highways and go to the byways. We've learned enough. Now we have to give the simple message out. And is it simple after all? I don't think so. But I mean, fruit as far as nature is concerned belongs to the days of vigor and shout. But you know something in the gardens of grace? When plants are weak in themselves, they become strong in the Lord. I know from whence my help comes. It comes from the Lord. We should type that out on the typewriter like the rain in Spain type thing over and over and over again. We should write it on longhand. Falls mainly on the plane. Falls mainly on my heart. But then again, it abounds in fruit acceptable to the Lord. Some of the fruit that we see right now that has been through stretch and struggle and push and grind, it bumps out on the limbs. It's bitter. It's a fruit of a type, but it's not a fruit of the Lord. It doesn't come naturally in season. You're going to see that out here now. There'll be signs. There'll be trees that are budding and so on like that, and then the fruit's down inside. There are no seeds down inside. They're starting to make it. Are you hearing this message today? And I think aged believers have this experience. Well, Paul, you've only been saved for 15 years. Can you call yourself an aged believer? Yeah, I can, because you see, my training started the day I was born. I think that's something that we need to see. That the day you were born, you started your trek, saved or unsaved. You started learning from point zero and you went on. So I believe myself to be an aged believer. Some people age faster than others because they've gone through more affliction, more sorrow, more pain. And those are the ones, well, unless that your righteousness exceeds this or this whore sitting here, bowed down before my feet here, you won't even make it to heaven. He's talking to the religious leaders of the day. But they all know that it's all done by the grace of God. They know that. Inherently, they know that. And they, through their life, are always looking for something. And all through my life, I was always looking for something. I didn't know what it was. And so I know the grace of God is sufficient. And we learn also, aged believers, some of you might even be 15, 16 years old, but you're an aged believer because you've had to live a hard, hard life. We know that you can only grow in grace. We don't become fruit trees that have become self-appointed inspectors of the seed. There's a lot of them out there right now. They're checking the granaries for seed. Okay, let's sift through this. Only the best seed. Only the worthy seed. Only the seed that can fit into our little seed mold. See, they have these little molds. And they take this seed and they put it, nope, doesn't quite, almost fits. Throw it out. Got to fit perfectly. If it doesn't fit perfectly, this little seed go into our little mold, we throw it out because we only want hybrids. We only want those holy, holy seeds. You're not going to see that out there. Bible says don't pull up the tares. You can't tell the difference between the tares and the wheat. I mean, revival is a coming if we'll allow it to come. But first of all, that revival has to start in us, that God wishes that none should perish, that all should have everlasting life. And not to become inspectors of the seed. And then, like I said, only use those that can be grown into hybrids, like ourselves. We don't throw out the seed as unfit. We don't challenge God's seed. The first will be last, the last will be first. We'll walk up and take that first seed up there. Oh, I guess that's for me up there. See, it's empty up there. Well, it doesn't look like there's any other seats. We give a quick glance around, go sit up there. Hey, what are you doing up here? El Bummo goes over here, and El Grito goes down there. Isn't that going to be something? Well, there'll be a big hobo sitting up at the front of the table. You don't know what's going on in his life or what ministry that he's had. Or how lives were changed through him. I venture to say, when you look a lot at the hobos, you say, boy, I never want to turn out like that. Huh? Or you look in the jails, you say, I don't want to turn out like that. Or you look in the mental wards. I don't want to turn out like that. Well, actually, a lot of them are saner than we are, but let's don't get into that. At least they're confined. They can't be dangerous. There is equipment to hold them in check. Straitjackets and things like that, if necessary. And yet you might see one of those fling off that straitjacket that ministered in one of those such places, being called to the head of the table. We don't know. Be careful, the Bible says, when you think you know something, know nothing at all. Be open to the Spirit of God. And God is saying, go ye out into the world and preach all the gospel. And yet someone challenged God's seed and say, come be like me. But I've learned to say, and I know it's the truth, come just as you are without a plea. And so today, let's look in on Amos and see what he has for us in Amos 1 and 2. Thus hath the Lord showed unto me, and behold, a basket of summer fruit. And he said, Amos, what seest thou? And I said, a basket of summer fruit. Then said the Lord to me, the end has come upon my people Israel. I will not again pass by them anymore. That means spare them. I think it's interesting to note that when we read from the prophets, that each one has a particular style. Each one has his own manner. Definitely their own manner, and although God speaks through them all, they do not lose their individuality and original character. When I first got saved, I thought, well, now if I'm going to do any preaching, I'll have to have a model. And, Billy Graham would be a wonderful model. And some of the others that I'd seen and ministers, that would be a wonderful model. But God doesn't want that. He wants you to be an individual. That's how you're saved. You can't just belong to a church and say, well, I belong to, are you saved? Oh yeah, I belong to, I've been a Lutheran or a Catholic or a disciples ministry or whatever. My grandma always prayed for me. No, it's individuals that are saved. God wants you to keep your original character. He'll take care of it, shaping up. But anyway, God uses them all as instruments, like the horns and the harps and the drums and the flutes and the pianos and guitars. They all contribute, although I heard a flute up here and Dom was playing the guitar. Now, maybe he had some kind of a desire to become a flutist. Is that what they call it? They call them flutists? Flautists? Well, it's flautist, isn't it? Well, the flautist played his flutist this morning on a guitar. And we're serving a God of miracles here, aren't we? Didn't you kind of wonder when he was playing that guitar? Didn't that sound beautiful? Maybe the flautist union will come in here and say, hey, what right have you to flutist and try to be a flautist? Get outist. I don't know. But I do know that we serve a God of miracles. But anyway, no two instruments give forth exactly the same sound. You put the flute up here. A flautist that knows how to play the flute. And as beautiful as that was, someone that really loves the flute would say, now there is a real flute. Not the flout the flute, but I mean, you know what I mean? Or someone playing on a keyboard playing the guitar. And yet, aren't we all imitators? Isn't that beautiful that we can be individuals? And I was looking at Don and Sue and I thought, my, what beautiful individuals. What a pleasure to know these people and to know you people sitting here today. And Chuck, what a pleasure to know you, and Mick and Kent, all of you. Sue and Rosemary, Jack, all of you. And Jim, what a pleasure to know you. There's a song like that, Beginning to Know You. Beginning to know more about you. And more that I know, the more that I understand, we're all saved by grace. Now, but anyway, these instruments, these men of God, and they are all different instruments that have a different sound. They all speak the word of God. But each cries out in his own special voice. Jeremiah doesn't sound like Isaiah. And the sheep herders, they don't have the wisdom of Daniel. And Jonah doesn't copy Malachi, but each still has a personality. I think we should appreciate each other's personalities. Sometimes we think, oh man, that person is so corny. Well, that's their personality. They have a corny personality. Maybe you have a boring personality. I don't know. But whatever this man was when he was called of God to be a prophet, that really he still is. And I know that's hard for people to admit that they're saved and I'm changed, 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 changed. Well, you are. But you're still basically the same person. Oh, I tried for a while to say God, and I tried for a while to put on airs. But it didn't come off. It wasn't me. See, God consecrates what's already there, whether you like it or not. We are not recasted, but we are refined. It's the same you, but all the rough edges are taken off. You're a jewel in yourself. You've been bought with a price. You're a jewel. You're going to be in God's crown. And so you're not going to be put into any mold. It's the Holy Spirit that's going to shape you and whack at you and cut you and make you so you'll fit right in. Don't worry about fitting in. God has a way of making you fit in. You don't have to fit into anyone's particular mold. No, he takes and he consecrates what's already there. And I think many ministries of our day can learn a very valuable lesson from that. What God gives you, preach. And be yourself. I never did like myself, so it was hard for me to be myself. But God says, I love you. Be yourself. Be yourself. I'll refine it. I'll take care of it. Don't worry about it. What makes you think you're so awful anyway? Aren't you made in my image? Are you ashamed of being a child of God? You ever notice when your kids go out to play, they come back exactly like who they're playing with? How many have noticed that? Well, I have. They go out with somebody that's real nice to their mom and, oh, Mommy, can I go out and play? Thank you very much, darling, dear mother. And then they come in, they do the same thing, especially if they have the audience of darling, dear mother speaker over there. Can I go out, mother, darling, dear? And then they'll go out with somebody. Oh, shut up! I hate you! You make me miserable! And they come in. Well, you know who they've been with. No, use your own style. And I used to tell my kids, be yourself. I had trouble with this and that, and I got a C, or I got a C minus. I said, I don't care. If you've tried the very best you can, don't go nuts over it. It'll come to you. Don't worry about it. Be yourself and grow up. Be free. Be open. My dad used to say, my Gussie, don't worry about so much. Just be yourself. Don't worry. Yeah, but Dad, I told that customer up. So say you're sorry next time they come in. Don't worry about it. Go on out. Probably need it anyway. Good, you do me a favor. You do me a big favor. Now do me a bigger favor. Go out, wait on the customers that are out there. Treat them nice. So don't look for models and use their expressions and their whims and their actions, because many times they don't fit your character. That'd be like me playing the part of Clark Gable. Really, I don't give a D. It wouldn't come off, would it? Or Jim playing the part of Tarzan. Or Jack. It wouldn't come off, would it? Now you could say, me, Tarzan, all you want to. It wouldn't make no difference. We know who you are. You know why you're Jim, the hobo bus driver. You're famous all over Minneapolis, the hobo bus driver. You're not Tarzan. You don't shout and all the animals follow you. You go on down to meet them sometimes. Aren't we all animals sometimes? Or Kent making you President Reagan. Well, you know what happens when we say, well, I really appreciate our president. I think he's great. When we're saying that, sometimes we're searching for words. Well, come on. Well, we're really digging down in there for some words. And man, when they're spitting all their vermin out at you, you got to say a few wells. I appreciate him because he's still out there. He didn't go hide someplace. I mean, this man has been shot at, wounded. Shot down in the street, and he says, well, I forgot to duck. Isn't he a beautiful character when all is said and done? I mean, besides all your likes and dislikes and everything, this is a character. Man, they make fun of him all the time. Everybody's around welling all the time, aren't they? So listen, we are what we are. We are no more. And God will consecrate what we are. That's what makes us so nervous and so upset. We're always trying to be something else. Are you hearing us today? We're always trying to be something else. Are you hearing this? Sit down, young man. We're always trying to be somebody else, and it makes us nervous because we forget our lines. I have to look around because everybody thinks you're talking right to them. We're all that way. And if we just be ourselves and let God perfect us, wouldn't it be an interesting world? There's so many Clark Gables running around and so many Reagans and so... There's so much likeness. There's so many people that do their hair just like, whatever, Liz Taylor or whatever. There's so many Liz Taylors running around. Well, I've been in love with Liz since Lassie's days. I'll take that right now. Goodness sakes. Right? And I just hate it when everybody tries to mock her. Right? God doesn't want that either. Do you know what I'm talking about? Just be yourself and God. Don't get all nervous and frustrated because you don't fit into a particular mold or group. Of course, unless we persist in this, pretending to be something we ain't. A pious saint that can't. We can't do that. Don't try to put on airs, in other words. Be what you are and let God chip and chisel and hack. It'll all come out in the wash. It'll all come out in the end, and the end is you'll all die. A physical death. No, isn't it wonderful to know that when you leave this old life, that God has prepared you for another life, and sometimes people don't like the way you were prepared. I believe if each man would seek to be himself and not someone else, if he would consecrate his powers and his talents to God as they are, and bring them out in their simplicity without feeling too bad about it, whether it's smooth as silk or rough as a cob, just let it be. Isn't there a song like that? Let it be. Oh, let it be. Let it be. Let it be. Let it be. Don't try to be another. Let it be. Let it be. That's the way it goes? I think so. But anyway, people around this particular type of person would become very conscious of the fact that a man had risen who was real people, who was earnest, who was sincere, who was honest, who was not a player, an imitator of other people. You get caught a lot of times trying to imitate someone, and then you lose it. And say, well, that really isn't that person. Yeah, that is that person. The one you were always watching was the imitator. Isn't a song like that, Just Like I Am? Oh, just like I am, without a plea, this is all you'll get, all is what you see. I'm a very poor actor, except when playing me. So expect a miracle as I act out only me. Debbie, this is me. People, this is me. You either got to take me or throw me in the garbage can, say your seed doesn't fit, throw him out. Do you ever wonder about little kids when they pick little kids or this or that, and then the little kid over here, Sir Fonderoy, with the ruffles and everything, and here's dirty foot over here and so on like that, and they get special privileges. Sometimes I feel like Dirty Foot. I remember when my girls used to bring the boyfriends over. And they never knew what I was going to do. I said, you know, I used to be in the Olympics. And I'd get them all going. I said, wait a minute, I'll do a somersault for you. And I'd get down and I'd try to roll over and fall on my side. And these gangly, pimple-faced with a hair growing out of it. Never full. Young guys would just turn as red as a beet. Well, almost redder than my daughters. Say, do you want to see another? Maybe you'd like to see a backflip or something. Well, see, that's me. And I think, for the most part, Debbie, you're kind of used to me, aren't you? So-so. She goes, well, at least you'll have to say I'm a character. I really haven't changed all that much. The only difference is that I have Christ in me, the hope of glory, and that's my point. And any fruit that I do bear, it's because the Lord in me causes it to bear inwardly, not outwardly. But they would be amazed. They would become conscious of the fact that a man had risen. Are you hearing this? I also think that God could speak more clearly through a man who speaks of the fullness of his heart instead of someone, let's say, siphoning off of someone else's stream. It says, out of our innermost beings, not someone else's beings, not someone else's river, will flow rivers of living waters. As a as a child, I had so much energy. I never really walked any place. I always ran. And I would run and run and run and run and run and run and run. And oft times before I knew of jogging or any of that, I would run and I'd run like 5 miles. And I'm not tired anymore. And then I'd run another. But wherever I went, I was full of energy and I was always looking for something to do. And so people tried to harness that. Settle down. I'd be in school and my leg would be going like this. And a principal come over, and I guess I was about in the fourth grade. Keep that leg still. Keep the other one still. Keep that head still. I mean, you know, Man, I wanted to be on the move. I hated confinement, and I was so full of all this energy. And so a lot of times, I needed punishment. But it seemed like when anything went wrong in the class, I got my hands spanked with a ruler. Had to be him. And so when the principal would come in, I would just go. And it seemed like everybody was trying to shape me into something I couldn't be. Praise God, my folks never did that. And they saw me through just about everything. And my dad would say, you're pretty wild, you know, you're not strong. You're going all the time and you're in trouble all the time. And now I have to go to the principal's office. Oh, the principal was like the president of the United States. One reason I stayed out of trouble, my dad would just have almost have a nervous breakdown if he had to go to the principal's office. Dad, it's just the principal. He's not the president. He's not the king of Greecedom.
There you have it. That was episode 258, part 1, Fruit. Be sure to listen to the conclusion on Sunday. Have a great weekend. God bless you.
Some say love.